Well, it is with great joy that I come up here. God has laid some things on my heart, and I want to share them with you. Grace and peace be with all of you, all day long, all week, as you think about what He is bringing today. I do want to open in prayer. Lord, I pray that you are present here with me. Lord, I pray that your words are the words I speak. And I pray, Lord, that what you bring here blesses everybody. And even those on the outside, the ones that we spread our news with, I just pray that you would encourage us to go out beyond these walls and share your word. And I pray for your comfort and your calmness as I bring this to everybody. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I came up here, I say joy because that was my main topic. I wanted to share joy with everybody. I see so much in the world of things that do not point to that. People don't use the word joy. You ask people to describe that word. What does joy mean to you? It's a hard thing to actually put in words unless you are really feeling it. So God took me a different route. He gave me the heart of the matter, which is the matter of the heart, our core. I want to put some things out here. You've heard soft-hearted. I went and looked at the Webster's Dictionary and just kind of looked to see what it said. It said, very sympathetic or responsive, generous in spirit. I added some things to that. I put good listener, pats you on the back, praises you, encourages you, offers a helping hand, prays for you. They're approachable. These are the soft-hearted. Then you hear hard-hearted, unfeeling, unmerciful, pitiless. They ignore you, stab you in the back, look down on you, hurt you, discourage you, turns your back on you, does not love. Then you have the half-hearted, far from enthusiastic, lukewarm, talks the talk, doesn't walk the walk, stays out of sight, doesn't get involved, looks busy, offers little or nothing at all. They're a fan. They like the idea of Jesus. I will say right now that I have become a follower of Christ. I am not a fan. I love the idea of Jesus, but I love Jesus. I love what He's done in my life. Most of you don't know me. I'll introduce myself. I'm Russell Blumenstein. I'm the father of Dustin Blumenstein, husband of Lori. And of course, grandfather. I've been struggling with what is it that God wants me to do? What my part is in His plan? I feel sometimes like a round peg trying to fit it in a square hole. I'm not a bookworm or a great student. I have a real struggle with putting notes together, even ones that make sense to me. And when I get done, I look at them and wonder, what is this that I've written? I find myself thinking about a particular subject, and these ideas start coming together much faster than I can get them down on paper. This is because I have been trying to write what I want to write. Ever since I've got into this study, when I learned that I would be doing this, it is a totally different situation of what God does. I will say that I am ADD, obsessive compulsive. Things distract me. Squirrel. So I have to have God's help in all of this. I cannot do this on my own. I don't choose to do this on my own. And I use that word choose because It is something we need to do, or I need to do. I need to choose to do it. I can pretty much go my way. I don't have to do anything. But I choose to follow Christ. I choose to stop, to listen. I listen for God's quiet voice that can only be heard when I am still. Then God can fill me what he wants, whatever he wants of my life, he can fill me with that. It is God that calms my spirit and my mind and makes it possible for me to even be standing here. And if some of you know me, this is a miracle in itself. God has put it in my heart to share what is in my heart and what it means to give my heart to Jesus. I cannot describe what it feels like for you to have pain in your heart. I don't even know what it is like for my own. I can't describe what it's like to have love in your heart or compassion. Unless you have that yourself. When I'm hurt by others, not so much physical but with words, my heart consumes me with a pain that causes me to lose the faith and trust I have in God. This isn't God that's doing this. This is the enemy. God did not put this in me. I did. This place is not a place that makes the heart leap. And I'm speaking of this pain. But rather, it begins to harden my heart. This hardening of the heart causes me to pull away from the people I love, sit up by myself, and question what I am doing here. It's a horrible feeling for me. When I gave my heart to God back in 1994, I believe it was in October, there was not so much thought in what I was actually doing. It was what I was supposed to do. Some of you have experienced that or thought of it. This is around, you accept Christ into your heart. Hey, I'm saved. Okay, woohoo, I made it. I didn't actually do that. It was a little different for me. I started strong, but did not seek God and made it all about me. Big mistake. You hear about these things, you know, it's a God thing. Now I look back at what it means when I give my heart, when I gave my heart to God. And this wasn't that long ago. Like I said, I accepted Christ back in 1994. Only about a year ago or so. I don't have a certain time period. Time goes by really fast when you're busy. God changed me. I know it's been about a year, maybe a year and a half. And he is changing me. There are times that I doubt that I have the ability to act upon the things God puts before me. I always have these, I read back and I see there are times that I doubt I have the ability to act upon the things God puts before me. I have a lot of eyes. I find myself doubting God, but I remind myself that if God has called me to act, then why would there be doubt? Okay, that's me. I'm trying to take charge. God says, here, do this for me. Then what's my problem? Again, it's me. I set myself up for failure when I charge ahead of God. I think about, I dwell on what it means when I say, God, I'm yours to do with as you will. My focus has changed. I'm constantly listening, and I'm looking for the opportunities that God has for me that will glorify him. This isn't bragging. I don't want anybody thinking that that's what I'm doing here. I love that God is using me. I will say that. It is a freeing thing. When you give your heart to God, and I pray this for everybody out here, that you actually give your heart to God. I pray this because this town, Jennifer talked about, you know, these communities that need God, these places to go. And I admire her strength in doing that. But I also know that the people here in Sile are our mission. I don't live in a town of Sile, but I look. I see a lot of what's happening here. There's a lot of lost hope. I guess what God would put in us is the compassion to go out there and share what God's doing for you in here. I would pray that everybody would come to know God, Jesus, that He loves us, that He's holding out His hands, and He's saying, please, come to me. This kind of took me back. I guess it was something God put on me to focus on what we believe. In the beginning, back in Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. And I'll go on. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. I'm just going to read these through. Genesis 1:3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Genesis 1:6. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And it was so. Genesis 1:9. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Genesis 1:11. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind, on the earth. And it was so. Genesis 1:14. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs. And I read that for signs, I think of the star that led those people to Jesus' birth. And for seasons, and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Genesis 1:20. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created, and so on. You've read them. I know many people have looked at these. Genesis 1:24. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. You know this verse. Now, I guess I have this. And believe me, God asked me these questions before I ever wrote them down here. Do we believe that God did all of what is written here in the beginning? And that this is truly God's word? Do we believe that? Do we believe that all God has to do is speak anything into existence? Anything. The universe. The plants, us. Do you believe this with all of our heart? I say this because if we don't, if we doubt any of this, then what are we here for? If we do not believe any of this, then the rest of what is written in God's word means nothing. If we do not believe that God spoke this in, that God created this, created us, if we do not believe any of that, then what is this that's in this book? God's Word. God's spoken Word. Yes, man put this down on paper, but God spoke that through them, just as He is doing with me. God, who can speak anything into existence. Just keep thinking on this. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Yeah. Do not lean on your own understanding. We all know this verse. We have said it when the time seems like it fits into a conversation, or we studied in Sunday school, we do this. But do we think about what this really is or means when we read this verse, recite it, tell others about? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We are giving God our whole heart, like our core of our being. To say, I trust in you, Lord, should flow easily from the mouths that claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. To say, I trust in you, Lord, and then turn around and say, except for this right here, I better handle that. That's offensive to God, that you would not trust Him with everything. Especially when you said, I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. I'm not saying I have this perfected. I'm not perfect. I find myself doubting God too often, but now I recognize this doubt is not of God. Any action I take without first asking God for direction is saying, I got this, no problem, I'll take care of it. That's not trust. Not when I've asked God into my heart and said, this is yours. Think about Peter. We just discussed this morning. Getting out of the boat, calling out to God, say, God, if you are who you are, call me to you. I will come to you. And he says, come to me. Out of the boat he goes. But I would have the trust in that to be able to even begin to step out there and go to Jesus, knowing that He's going to take me all that way. But it's those distractions. Distractions of the world. In that case, distraction of the waves and the wind. And he took his eyes off God and he sank. I can only say that we need to keep our focus on God and what He did for us. Giving your whole life to God should not be difficult to do. They always, you hear that, His yoke is light, His path is straight. Your life is His anyway, good, bad, or indifferent, and all He wants is for us to truly acknowledge that fact. We are His. Whether you choose to follow Him or not, you are His. Where is our heart when we get down on our knees and pray, Lord, do with my life whatever you will, and then wring our hands and worry about what that could mean? I've had lots of conversations about that ever since people started hearing that I was going to be up here. It was an eye-opener, to say the least. But it means God will do great things in your life that will bring glory to Him. It's not to worry. What He wants you to do, what He asks of you in life or however things go in your life, if He's asking you to do a particular thing, no matter who you are, who you think you are, be assured that He will give you that courage, that strength, those tools, those gifts, whatever you need, He's going to give those to you to do what He asks you to do. But you first have to pray, Lord, do with my life whatever you will. And mean it. In the past, I've tended to make this giving my heart to Jesus an emotional thing. It feels great. I mean, it does. It gives you a good feeling. And I've always, after words, you think, wow, that's impressive. Everybody saw me do this. Everybody knows I'm pretty good. Again, I can see God was not in this. That's why I say I gave my heart a long time ago, but only really gave my heart a short time back. Matthew 22:37-38. Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Greatest and first commandment. The mind is tricky. I think that's why it came at the end of this. It was the heart and the soul, then the mind. If the heart and soul of you are saturated with the Spirit and love of God, then the mind cannot influence your heart, at least with the distractions of the world. It can't influence your mind with the distraction of the world quite as easily. If you saturate your heart, you think of a sponge soaking up water, it'll only take so much, and once it starts doing that, it's leaking out everywhere. Well, that's what your heart should be with Christ's love. Look back in the beginning. What do you believe from Genesis? Do you believe that he has it all? It's all his. He's made it. Do we believe that? Romans 12:2. Our Sunday school class was pretty cool. We went over a lot of this. I'm thinking, wow, my sermon's going to be all done right here in Sunday school. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That pretty much says that I can't really add anything to that. I ran into a couple of things that God put on me, and some of it made me laugh a little bit, but incline your heart to God. In Psalm 119, I believe that's in there somewhere, Psalm 119, 35-37, lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Psalm 119, 111-112. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever and to the end. What I like about this is it just kind of gives me a picture. And only because if you've ever watched me anytime, you will not see me doing this. But I see a person with their hands in the air praising God. You are opening up your heart to God. You're just, thrusting it right out there. Here you go, God, and praising Him. Just let God do whatever He wants to do with your heart. Not for any kind of gain, just the grace and love that only God can give. And if ever you ever get the courage to raise your hands when we're singing, I will say that when you do that, you can sing louder, you can get a better flow of air. Everything comes with your hands up like this rather than down like this, where you're compressing the lungs, a little bit of schooling. I had planned on getting everybody to do that and then start doing the wave and different things, but we won't go there. Philippians 3, verse 8. This is the verse that came to mind with, not for any kind of gain except the grace and love that God can give. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. The focus is on our Lord, nothing else. God will then give us the important things that he wants us to focus on if we choose to open our eyes. And then we can see and then open our ears to listen. And again, I speak about his people, the people he loves, people he loves so much he sent his son to die and to suffer all the pain of all of our sins and go through that. Loved us so much that he did that for us. And he loves all of his people. He loves all these people here in Sile. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Build up your treasure in heaven. I put great value in having money in the past. That's usually what you think of when you think of treasure. But mostly the money is in the past. Just saying. I only say this because when we hear the word treasure, money is one of the first things that pops in your mind, and we always hear this. It's all about money. So, I bring you back to Luke 6:45. Keep us on track a little bit. The good, and I only say God is truly good. If you look up Luke 18:19, he will tell you that. But the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Again, I think of the sponge. But the most of what is in our hearts will be the first to come out. We must allow God to fill our hearts completely so that none of our selfish wants and worldly things has room in there. If our love for Christ is not showing, then what is it that we have let into our hearts? What are we letting grow there? We were just reading this morning that, you know, that your heart is a wellspring of life. Let no evil take root there. How do we get close to people that we do not know? Oh, I'm sorry. How do we get close to people that do not know Christ? If we do not shine with the love of Christ that we have in our hearts. And I put pride of Christ in parentheses there. If we don't shine with that love that Christ put in there. We need to show that there is hope where none can see it. And again, I think of Sile. There's a lot of people out there that have no hope because they do not see it. We have not shown that to them. We can only do that by building a friendship with the downtrodden. And we see that all the time. The ones that walk with their heads down. The ones that are skulking in the corners. Do I believe this? Yes, I do. Now I just tell you that it's time to go and preach the good news. Take every opportunity God gives you to share what he has done in your life. Now I want to kind of point out, I'm saying take every opportunity God gives you. We are really good about going out there and blasting people for Christ. Okay, take every opportunity God gives you to share what he has done in your life and how that could be for their life. And as I've shared, I've shared something with a few people. It means more to me now. But how much do we have to hate someone, truly hate someone, not to share this eternal life-giving news about the Son of God that died for all? Why do we keep it to ourselves? It's selfish. Again, we have to wait on God's guidance in everything. As humans, we like to dive into things without his help. Romans 10:10. With the heart, one believes and is justified. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. Looking at the notes in that, this is out of the NAV. In fact, I think all these are. Say that saving faith. What did I say? Did I say ESV? I don't know what I said. I think I did. I'm sorry. With the heart, one believes and is justified, and with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. But the notes in the NIV say that saving faith is not mere intellectual agreement, but deep inward trust in Christ at the core of one's being. Our core is our heart. My heart is now God's because of what His Son did on the cross for me. But wait, there's more. You too can give your heart to God. I had something back here. I can't remember if I brought it up yet, but the heart is pretty incredible. But this verse came up. It said the heart leaps. Some of us have that feeling. I think the heart leaps when God comes into your life, when you've truly asked Him in and He has come in. The heart leaps. On Psalm 28, 6 through 7, David was asking for protection of his people here, but the comments of his words, they encouraged me. As praise be to the Lord, for He has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to Him in song. Now I think about the music at Easter. That was pretty awesome. Just the whole Easter. Just about Jesus. And Jesus has risen. I can't believe it. But Easter, that was giving thanks to God. It was amazing. Well, here's a familiar song. Psalms 51, 1 through 13. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. That's grace and forgiveness, which only God can give. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin so that I can come into God's presence. God hates sin. He doesn't want that in front of Him. And if you think about it now, we have Jesus to present us sinless at the end. We need that filter. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. God, you are justified to take my life. Against you only have I sinned. And you need to look back I'll give that to you. You look back at the history of what this is about, what's going on in David's life at this time. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. What we do, actions we take, things that just happen, are things we do to people. You are doing that against God. If you are doing things to your neighbor, the person sitting next to you, that is not just not right. You're doing that against God, and God will judge that. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. From conception, we have sin in us. Again, I think we went over that in Sunday school. Behold, you delight in truth and the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. You know, and I never really paid attention to this secret heart. And I didn't have a lot of time to really dive in and dig on that. But I think of the deepest place in the heart that we think no one knows about, that we hold down there. God can reach it. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Inner cleanliness. Again. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. kind of his disappointment is, his disappointment and his love. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Forgiveness that God demonstrates for us, we're not on his record anymore. Restore me to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Remember this, the joy of being saved. It's not just for us. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. I can think of a few people here that God brought back because of people going out there and getting them here. Take what God gives us and share it with those we know and we love. Just in closing, I want to say, as followers of Christ, we are not God's puppets, but our lives should look like we are. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but if we are totally following God, it should look like we are puppets. But it's our choice. We can choose not to. We should be asking for God's guidance every day throughout the day. And we love God so much that we want to do whatever God wills. And I believe his will is to bring people back to him. The joy I spoke of in the beginning, when I came up here, I was the joy I came up here. When we see people that, well, the joy happens when we see people that were lost, blind, wounded, turning away from God, just flat out running the other direction. When we see them come back to God and back into fellowship with the brothers and sisters of Christ, that is joy. For those of you that feel beat down, that no one loves you, you are brokenhearted, I invite you to ask God to fill your heart, and you will experience a joy that cannot be taken away. Once there, you're in God's hands. Nobody takes you out of there. I cannot describe the joy that comes of this. I can describe what it feels like for me. And I will, you ask me. But if you truly want to know what joy is, well, I'll leave it there. For those that know the joy of knowing Christ and really having him fill your heart, we have the communion up here. It's not really Jesus' flesh and Jesus' blood up here, but it's a representation of what he did for us. Us that are truly saved, that know what he did for us. These are for us to remind us. And really taken as often as we need to, as we want to. I can only pray that everybody that comes up and shares in this realize what they are doing. You must be God's. Jesus must be in your heart for this to even mean anything. To just come up and grab a piece of bread and have a little dip of juice because it looks good to everybody. That's not the reason to come up. Don't be ashamed not to come up. Things might be that you're working out things in your heart that you must have clear before you come up here. The iniquities against others, the things that you hold against each other, and that could be as bad as hate. Hopefully that's not here. But those things must be cleared. Cleared with God. Pray to Him to take it all. And then come up here and share to remind us of what He did for us. That He sent Christ here for us. Well, I will pray. And I don't know if you guys wanted to play any music after this or not, but do you want to just play a note just for a little bit? Okay. Lord, I thank You for this time that You gave me here. I thank You for all that You've put in my heart. I pray, Lord, that that we share the love that You gave us, that complete and total love that You gave us. I should pray that we can just share that with everybody outside of this church, and that we cannot hold ourselves back, that we all choose to love You and to love those that are out there and lost. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.